This talk is offered by Ordinary Mind Zendo. Ordinary Mind was founded by Barry Magid, Dharma heir of Charlotte Joko Beck, and is dedicated to her vision of a psychologically minded Zen practice adapted to the needs of American students practicing in the context of their everyday lives. Our public programs are made possible by donations from people like you.
I'm going to read some excerpts from the life of Master Feiyan. Japanese, his name is Hogen. Taken from volume Zen's Chinese Heritage by Andy Ferguson. It is a compilation of the source material from which the great koan collections were organized. And some of what I read you'll recognize as having been incorporated into familiar koans. Feiyan was born in 885, died in 958. And at the age of 7, he entered a monastery. He was well educated and erudite as a young man studying the Confucian classics. He received ordination at the age of 20 and then proceeded to another town where he studied under a Vinaya master. Still later, he studied Zen and went on pilgrimages. The first incident regards one of these pilgrimages that he undertook as a young monk. Feiyan and his friends on pilgrimage were sidetracked by a snowstorm and forced to stay at Dai Zang Monastery. The master there asked him, "Where are you going?" And Feiyan replied, "On an ongoing pilgrimage." "Why do you go on pilgrimage?" Feiyan replied, "I don't know." The master said, "Not knowing is most intimate." And at these words, Feiyan experienced enlightenment. Pilgrimage is a interesting concept in that it combines in it both the idea of traveling with the purpose of gaining some kind of teaching or experience, and yet at the same time here is a kind of open-ended exploration, one that takes you into lots of different places where you're not sure what you're going to encounter. And in this case, the monastery of the Zen teacher that provided these turning words for Feiyan wasn't even on his pilgrimage route, right? He sort of got stuck there in a snowstorm. Feiyan expresses the kind of open-ended nature of pilgrimage by saying, "I don't know," to the question of why do you go on pilgrimage. But the master's response cuts deeper than being just open-ended. He says, not knowing is most intimate. The not knowing itself is the state that the pilgrimage cultivates. It's not simply that I'm going from place to place and teacher to teacher, and I want to be open to different teachings, and I'm going to be willing to undergo different practices or even hardships in order to have these different teachings and experiences, right? That's a whole different way of thinking about it. But the master says, the not knowing is precisely what the mind of the pilgrim should be about. Not just open to new experience, but simply open. Right? It's not that you're going to, by being open, get new, exciting, and deep experiences. But being open itself is the mind that you think you're after. If you realize that, your pilgrimage is complete. Now, it's interesting that in all this source material, Fayan gets to have two enlightenment stories attributed to him. One we just heard, which ends up in the Book of Serenity. But here's another one, also taken from the time of this same pilgrimage, except now it's a little later on, and the snowstorm is over, and the three monks are about to go on their way. And the snow was gone, and the three monks bade farewell and started to depart. The master Dai Zeng accompanied them to the gate and asked, "I've heard you say several times, the three realms are only mind, and the myriad dharmas are only consciousness." Dai Zeng then pointed to a rock lying on the ground by the gate and said, "So, do you say that this rock is inside or outside of mind?" Fayan said, "Inside." Dai Zeng said, "How can a pilgrim carry such a rock in his mind while on pilgrimage?" Dumbfounded, Fayan couldn't answer. He put his luggage down at Dai Zeng's feet and asked him to clarify the truth. And each day for the next month, Fayan spoke about the way with Dai Zeng and demonstrated his understanding. Dai Zeng would always say, "The Buddha Dharma isn't like that." Finally, Fayan said, "I've run out of words and ideas." And Dai Zeng said, "If you want to talk about Buddha Dharma, everything embodies it." And at these words, Fayan experienced enlightenment. So it's interesting putting the two stories together. In the first one, where not knowing is most intimate, Fayan says, "I don't know why I'm going on pilgrimage," and Dai Zeng zeroes right in on that not knowing. But in the second one, it's more of a process, and more of a process that I think most of us go through, in that Fayan spends a month every day trying to say what his understanding of the Dharma is, trying to say what he thinks practice is, trying to say what he's up to on this pilgrimage, trying to say his understanding of mind. Right? You can tell that these monks are in the grip of theory, talking about everything is mind, right? That's a big part of the baggage he has to put down at Daizang's feet. And whatever he presents, Daizang says to him, the Dharma isn't like that. So in a way, it's a kind of endless process of subtraction, where we put forward and wear out all our ideas about what we think this is, what we think we're up to, and what we think we're going to get from it. And one way or another, we have to hear, no, that's not it. No, that's not it. And then what's left? Once Fayan became a teacher himself, there are many stories of his passing on what he learned. One of them is reminiscent of him encountering a monk who was in his own state of preoccupation with mind only. Supposedly there was a hermit who had a little hut, and over the door he wrote mind, and over the window he wrote mind, and on the wall he wrote mind. And Fayan took a look at it and said, he just sort of shook his head and said, over the door he should have written door, and over the window he should have written window, on the wall he should write wall, right? But the quote that I want to focus on and end with I think is very interesting and relevant to us. A monk asked Fayan, what is the thing towards which an advanced student should pay particular attention? That's an interesting question. And Fayan said, if you'd like to pause for just a moment and imagine your own answer, what is the thing which an advanced student should pay particular attention to? Fayan said, if the student has anything whatsoever which is particular, then he can't be called advanced. Now, why I think that's so relevant to us is that what usually passes for advanced in stories about meditation is that it tends to focus on the cultivation of particular states or having certain kinds of experiences. And we will often think of someone advanced who can enter into deep samadhi, whatever we think that is, right? Who can sit for a very long time, whose mind is either very clear or very concentrated, who has deep equanimity or serenity, some kinds of states of focus or consciousness or imperturbability, right? I think that it's almost invariable that this is what we come to practice thinking advanced means. But basically Fayan says all that stuff is the mark of a beginner. All that stuff is the cultivation of something particular. And that's not what Zen is about. You see, that's what he went through with Daizang, presenting over and over again what he thought the essence of the Dharma is. And in every case, Dhyanzen said, Buddha Dharma isn't like that. And what did he end up with? Everything you see embodies it. Everything you see embodies it. And you don't have to be cultivating a particular state to see that. Rather, the cultivation of particular states tends to blind you from seeing that. Right? It's as if you're preoccupied with capital N mind, you can't even see a door, a wall, or a window. Of us have been sitting together for a long time. Sometimes we think a long time is 5 years, but sometimes it's 10 or 20 or 30 or 40 years. What does it add up to? Nothing in particular.